on the banks of the Grand River, high above the Alora Gorge. This is the Buzzer Podcast. Indie music, new releases, industry insiders, out-of-the-box conversations with guests from the true north, from the west coast to the east coast to across the pond, and from down under. And now, here is Shay.
Hey, Shay here on Air Indie. Welcome and enjoy episode 34, first Music History Boil Down for April 6. In 1968, Pink Floyd announced that Syd Barrett had officially left the group. We speak to Terry of Terry and 3TL today. Terry hails from Niagara-on-the-Lake, Ontario, Canada. The artist is up for 7 nominations at the Red Carpet Award Show in Holland this spring.
Oh, hi, Terry.
Hi, Shay. Thanks for having me. Appreciate the time.
Thank you. I appreciate you coming on board. Appreciate that. So what type of music do you a favor putting out there? Because I've listened to all your music. Most of it's acoustic, if not all. Could you explain your musical style?
Good question. If I had a nickel for every time people ask me that, I'd probably have about a dollar right now. What I've been told is that I'm a crossover artist.
Yeah, I know. That's why I asked the question.
with the connotation being country, Christian, kind of Southern folk rock blues influence, which pretty much means I have no idea. It is all acoustic on the first album, and going forward, it will be less so. But to be honest, it was more of a work with what you got. And okay. I didn't want to get into, you know, just getting a bunch of people and doing stuff for the sake of doing it. And it seemed to work.
Yeah, you did very well.
Thank you.
What started your interest in music? Did you start quite young?
I started in primary school, about grade 3,
oh,
actually.
Wow.
this teacher came through the classroom and picked a few of us and said, come with me. And none of us knew what was going on. And we went up to the library. They put headphones on us. And they asked us if we could tell the difference between bars of music, you know, like counting 1, 2, 3, 4. And I guess I passed, because a couple weeks later I was issued a trumpet and assigned music lessons at Wembley Public School in Sudbury, Ontario, with Mr. Emil First, and ended up in the Sudbury Public School Orchestra.
And, oh, wow.
You know, played trumpet throughout, didn't enjoy it much, and switched to guitar, kind of, because that's what was going on.
Yeah, it's cooler.
I didn't know a lot of girls who liked the trumpet.
Yeah, I've heard that. Actually, a good friend, I won't put his name on the podcast, but he played that instrument for the Montreal Orchestra. Yeah, it's quite a difficult instrument.
It is very difficult. And had I known that later on in life, I could have used it for the blues, it would have been great. But back then I didn't know what the blues was. And the only thing that I heard was, you know, on trumpet was Herb Alpert and Al Hurt. And didn't really appeal to me when the Beatles and the Stones and the Animals and all those bands were coming
and
out.
Where did you hear those influences? With your peers? Was it at your home or something you sought out?
I was born and raised, grew up in Sudbury, and we were fortunate enough to have 2 radio stations.
Okay.
So there was a lot of stuff going on on the two radio stations, and quite diverse, actually. So, you know, you were listening to, I guess in 1964, you were listening to the Beatles and the Stones, you know, Satisfaction and I Feel Fine, things like that. And along with all the novelty songs wrote at that time as well, and all sorts of cultural songs, different languages. So it was, you know, that was the founding of it. So that I think it's reflected, it's come down to being reflected in what I do. And when people say, what's your style and what are your influences? Well, I don't know, basically everything. Yeah.
Did you follow jazz like Miles Davis?
I did. I have a fairly extensive jazz collection and, at various, you know, pretty much the same as everybody, I guess. At various times, I would go through a jazz phase, and at other times, I listened to a lot of classical music because of the orchestral background that I had. And, you know, at other times, driving to and from community college in Ottawa, at the night, I was listening to Deep Purple and rock. So it's hard to define what, if there was a singular influence. I think now with songwriting, that's narrowed down. I mean, I have my favorites who have kind of influenced where I'm at right now, and it's people like Lyle Lovett, Townes Van Zandt, Steve Earle, you know, those mm-hmm. people that I really respect and admire, especially Lyle Lovett. It's just, I've got virtually everything he's ever done. He just, I like the way he sounds. He comes across as a really nice guy. Oh,
yeah, he actually does. So, but your sound is unique. Did you set out to create a unique sound, or is it just something that happened? Or like, usually something starts somewhere. Like, you don't just pick up the guitar and, like, has your sound evolved over time? I guess I'm trying to ask.
I guess it's always been there. I mean, I did the normal thing that most musicians my age did. You went to high school. You were either, you know, playing football or hockey or something along those lines in Canada. Got a band together, and I did all that, you know, with the classic, what's called, it wasn't classic rock then, but it's called classic rock now, just doing covers. And I guess the evolution of the sound was, I just didn't want to sound like anybody else anymore, and figured, you know what, these are my songs. Take it or leave it. They're not going to be everybody's cup of tea. It really doesn't matter. I sound like me. So I haven't really tried to emulate anybody. Although my producer, Rayburn Blake, has mentioned that he wishes sometimes he had a draw knob on the board to tune down the country drawl. But I'm working on that.
I like that part.
Yes, yeah. So do I. But again, it's like everybody hears it different, right?
So how long have you been songwriting?
Virtually for as long as I can remember, right back in primary school.
Really? Yeah,
the first song I wrote was, I changed the words to a song, I think it was by Johnny Horton, called The Bismarck. And the Russians had launched Sputnik. I'm dating myself now. And I changed the words to reflect the space race between the Soviet Union and the United States. And that kind of, pardon the pun, launched my songwriting.
Okay. Not necessarily when you do a marker like that, you're dating. because I know in my, I guess, my musical history, I listened to my parents' music. So Patsy Cline, Herb Albert.
Yeah, in my case.
Johnny Cash. And then my sister was a lot older than me. Well, by enough in terms of music. And I I was into her music, the Stones and the Who and all that. And then there was mine.
Yeah, so. That would have been my grandparents' music. So, yeah.
I don't know. You never know. I never know. My kids, they listen to the Who and Beatles, and it's like a new band to them.
Yeah.
It's a good thing. Yeah, it's a good thing. Lasts forever. So let's talk about some of your successes. You have offered 7 categories.
Yeah.
For the Red Carpet Awards show.
Yes.
Yeah. Can you talk about that? What tracks are up? And
yeah, to be honest, I was rather surprised. Big shout out to my management group, Rosner Management Services in Vancouver, for putting me in touch with Phyllis Saltergan down in Texas. And we were talking about, you know, just the market in general and various things. And she suggested that I might want to submit to the award show in Holland because she had some experience with it. And she said that it was rather unique in its concept. They don't, it's almost like a wine tasting. It's done blind. The judges don't know who the artists are or virtually anything about them, apparently. So
that's amazing. I like
yeah,
that.
Yeah. And their magazine is called Country Music, Fair Play Country Music, I believe. I could be wrong. If so, I'm sorry. But I got in, and when she told me I had a day and a half to submit, so I thought, well, you know, what the heck? And I got notification back that I'd been nominated in 7 categories. I have no idea how they picked them out. I made some suggestions, particularly with Promised Land, and I submitted my first album, Take a Little Ride. And it just came back and they said, congratulations, you've been nominated in these 7 categories. I had to search for where my name was. And there it kind of sits. I'm grateful and surprised. And, you know, it's kind of a bit of a wow, unexpected, but truly, truly grateful for the support and for Phyllis throwing it out there and, you know, motivating me to do it.
That's a very successful. It's a very great feat that to have that many nominations.
Yeah, that's what I was surprised about. I mean, this whole thing has been kind of surprising in a way. The first album was meant to be a demo album. I had a serious health issue and had to be hospitalized, and we had all these tracks, and we had planned on going back and reworking them, you know, adding extra vocals and some more parts and the whole thing. But I'm umming a lot. We decided to work with what we had because of my situation, and we submitted, my banjo player pushed me to submit to the Niagara Music Awards in 2019, and we were nominated for Album of the Year and Best Country Artist.
Is that for Take a Little Ride?
For Take a Little Ride, yeah. And it was meant to be a demo, so we kind of looked at each other, scratched our heads, and said, we might have something here and might as well continue on the adventure. And that that adventure is manifesting itself in the second album. It's part of a 3-album trilogy, as I think I mentioned in our pre-interview talks. It's part of a three-album trilogy, and Promised Land is the first single from the second album. So the trilogy works itself out to Take a Little Ride, which is, as it suggests, it's sort of was meant to be come on a journey with me, us, And then Tell Me a Story was meant to get a little deeper into it. And the third album is tentatively called Rest in Peace.
Is that the title of the album?
It's going to be the title of the album, yeah. And hopefully it'll get done before I do.
Well, let's go. And that's gospel or country?
It's more of the same, only it's evolving. I'm adding a little bit more depth. One of the big changes in Promised Land was introducing the Stevens sisters. There are three sisters from Niagara on the Lake here who have, you know, harmonized and sang together all their lives, and I just think their vocals were beautiful. So we came down and kind of two takes and had their part on Promised Land. And going forward with the second album, there are going to be more vocals. I've got a electric guitar player involved in the project now, so it's not purely acoustic. Yeah, and heaven knows, we might even introduce a drummer sometime sooner or later.
Okay, awesome. So do they comprise the 3TL?
Yeah, they kind of do. 3TL isn't really a band. It's more of a collective.
Okay.
And what my idea was that people who wanted to play on, you know, who wanted to do my music could if they wanted to. And it sort of had a free form. Now, having said that, a lot of the core members have chosen to stick around and see what's, you know, where this is all going, which is wonderful. But it was kind of based on just sharing a creative concept. I didn't write parts for anyone.
Mm-hmm.
They just all, which was kind of weird, to be honest. A lot of people, when they come down originally, I was just speaking to a guitar player in Sudbury who's going to be on one of the tracks, and hopefully a few more as well. And, you know, typically he said, so what do you want me to play? How do you want it to sound? You know, all those type of things. And I told him what I've told everyone in 3TL is you'll hear it. So listen to the music and play your part.
Mm-hmm.
And fortunately it's kind of worked out, and it's quite, it's an interesting feeling for me hearing the interpretation, because 95% of the time, if not more, what these individuals are contributing are exactly what I've heard. It's like, if you listen to it and you play it, this is the way it should sound. And if it doesn't, then you're not meant to play. You're not meant to be part of that sound at that time, which is okay as well. Everybody understands that and is cool with it. And it works. It works really, really well. I'm blessed that the people that I'm working with have embraced that and are part of it.
I love that. I love that you allow such creative freedom in a collaboration like that. That says a lot. It's great. What is the Old Men Project?
Well, the songs, the project's called Songs for Old Men. And
I could give you a couple.
Yeah, well, it's a discerning taste, you know. It's not for everyone, but it encompasses and incorporates the three albums. And if you look at it from the perspective of Songs for Old Men, it's Take a Little Ride, Tell me a Story, and Rest in Peace. And what I realized was, music has an appeal, and the appeal is generally quite universal.
Yes.
But also, I had to be realistic, and I have a targeted demographic with people who still care about lyrics, because I've been told I write stories. And
you do.
And also people who want to hear new things that they're familiar with and not just rehashes of their glory days, you know, listening to classic rock. And there's nothing wrong with it. I mean, I do it all the time. But I kind of wanted to bring the option of hearing new material done in a way that they could still sort of understand and embrace. I mean, the stuff that we're doing, if we had the budget, we were considering putting it on vinyl so people could play with it. We still do. I've still done CDs, so it's not all just streamed. And it's been rewarding. I've had a lot of feedback saying, you know, I got your CD and I listened to it in the car. And, you know, the joke is, what, you still have a CD player in your car? It's sort of like 8 tracks, right?
Yeah, I was about to say that.
but people do. And that's exactly who it was intended for as far as the majority of my audience.
Okay.
And it's as simple as that. Like, you have to be realistic. I'm not going to be appealing in a broad sense to 2 or 3 generations younger than myself. There may be the odd song that somebody clicks into and goes, I like that song. I like the melody or the lyrics strike me at a particular time, but not for the whole thing. So when you take a look at Songs for Old Men, I thought that was just knowing a lot about old men, that would kind of simplify it for her. It's like, oh, okay, Songs for Old Guys. I'll give it a listen. Kind of makes sense, doesn't it?
I like the idea. Yeah, it does. It's kind of cute. And so we're going to listen to Promised Land soon. I'd like you to tell us a bit about the song. It seems definitely gospel. Am I wrong?
There is no right and wrong.
Okay. Thank you.
And that's where I get the crossover thing. It's quite a few of my songs, or so I've been told, and the way I look at them as well is they're subject to interpretation and based on the perspective of the person who's listening to them.
I can see that. And this is the second album. It's the first single from the second album.
Yes.
Where you introduced the Steven Sisters.
Yep.
Well, it's a great track.
Sharla, Sherilyn, and Jody.
And how long have they been singing together?
Well, they're sisters. So,
yeah.
You know, they probably... If you watch Nashville on the television at any time, they probably have spent most of their lives singing together. At least that's what they told me. And you can tell. I mean, they were. It was a pleasure to work with them. They came in, gathered around the mic, 2 takes, asked how we liked it, and we kind of went, "Sounds pretty good." And I made one very minor suggestion about taking 2 words out. And we went with it there, and it turned out, well, in my opinion, I love the way they sound.
Yeah, I love the record. So we're going to listen to Promised Land. It released February 14th of this year.
Take me to the promised land. Lead me, take my hand. Take me to promised land again. I was once there before. To return, I swore. Take me to the promised land again. I searched for silver, found gold. Bore the wrath, felt the cold. Heard stories too fantastic to believe. I heard laughter, seen pain, walked in sunlight, drowned in rain. Now I'm on my own again. Live my life the way I choose. Make mistakes, break the rules. Done many things that others never do. I won and lost, damn the cost. On the sea, dreams was tossed. Shattered dreams behind me, in my wake. Take me to the promised land. Lead me,
take my hand. Take me to the promised land again. I was there once before. To return again I swore. Take me to the promised land again.
Some say I will burn in hell. Those who don't, I wish them well. Either way, I don't really care.
Life is what you make it, son. One more round, then she's done. Take me to the promised land again.
Take me to the promised land. Lead me, let me
take your hand. Take me
take
to
the promised land again.
I was there once before. And to return again I swore.
So
take me to the promised land again.
Take me to the promised land. Lead me,
let me take
your
hand. Take me to the promised land again. I was there once before. To return again I swore. Take me to the promised land again.
Take me to the promised land.
Take me to the promised land. Take me to the promised land again.
So you've had great feedback from this, like we already talked about. Is this one of the songs that's up for a nomination, or is it?
It is. It's the.
I thought so.
It's sort of the song in many categories because one of the things that, you know, Phyllis pointed out was it's definitely crossover. And
yeah.
I hadn't really given things much thought about where it was. I when people asked me what genre my songs were, I don't know, you know, whatever you want. But she and Bruce Jackson, who runs Blast FM, and Mark Rosner gave them all a listen. They all agreed that it was crossover. It was definitely crossover. And so we went with that, you know, and that's kind of leading the charge with the new sound. Hopefully people will like it and they'll take a look back at the first album and say, where did this come from? And they can see a bit of an evolution.
Yeah, that happens a lot. Many artists crossover. Like it's happening since the dawn of time, but lately there's been quite a lot, like rap and hip hop into Latin and Latin into hip hop and rock got a lot of influence from blues, right? So it's an army thing. But honestly, you're the and this is the truth. You're the third artist this week that has described themselves as more of a crossover and a combination of genres versus one specific genre. So it might be something that becomes a thing, that people take it for the music and they don't put it in a certain category.
Well, when I was of a certain age, once again, not to date myself, but there weren't so many categories. It was either pop and rock and, you know, folk and country.
Yeah.
And that was about it. I mean, there was jazz and classical and other stuff, but not broken up into all the subgenres and the different things that are going on now. So yeah, it's hard to categorize when you're sitting back. Someone like me, I'm just writing a song and putting it out there. And it's really up to whoever's listening to it to decide what the perspective is. You can listen to Promised Land and see it as a gospel Christian based type of song, or you can see it as a relationship. And most of my songs are based on that dual perspective where you can look at it in one of two or three different ways based on a relationship that you're having spiritually, a relationship that you're having physically, or a relationship that you're simply having emotionally with yourself.
Yeah, it makes sense. Well, the next two tracks that we're going to be listening to in the podcast are from the first album, Take a Little Ride. Do you still offer and have the limited edition compact disc that includes the lyrics?
Yep, still do. When I did it, I wanted to have, again, old school. I have what they call a glass mastered CD, is supposed to be better. Well, at least I have to pay more for it. And
I say that.
Yeah. Then the packaging includes a lyric book, and you know it's something that I used to do every Friday and Saturday. We'd get together with friends and we'd bring over the albums that we bought that week and we'd share them. We'd share the experience and pass around the stuff. So I still wanted that touchy feely kind of thing. Going on. So the quick answer is yes, because the timing was to be that April of last year, we were going to do our CD release party, and then COVID threw a pretty big wrench into that whole year. So there's still a limited number. Get them while they're hot.
Yeah. No, I see it's offered on Bandcamp.
Yeah, Bandcamp's my only platform right now other than Facebook.
Yeah, it's a good platform. It's a good platform. But didn't you think that was the most incredible experience of buying an album, was reading the lyrics and the backstory and the inside cover? To me, I still to this day, if I buy, I have a vinyl collection that's growing, and it's some of those older albums. It's insane the amount of detail and work they put into their albums and their artwork, inside cover.
Oh, yeah. Everybody was high and really into it, right? So it's like, I can't remember which Zeppelin album it was, but it was the one that came in the brown paper bag. And when you pulled the album out, it was blank. And for the longest time, we didn't know what was going on. And then one day somebody spilled a beer on it and all this graphic came out of the album cover, and we went, holy cow. Like there was just that kind of creativity. And that also was part of a collective type environment. People appreciated their photography. They appreciated the artwork. They appreciated the lyrics. Like it was a total experience, which I'm hoping that is still exists today, probably just in a different form.
Well, I think it does, or younger generations wouldn't be playing the music.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think you're referring to the Led Zeppelin album In Through the Outdoor.
Yeah.
It was released in 1979.
Again, yeah. My grandfather had that for me, put it.
Well, I love your first album. I really do.
Well, thank you very much.
Like, I love it. We're going to listen to Hard Rock Town. Can you tell us a bit about that story?
Not much to tell, really. What it's about is where I grew up, and what's been interesting about it is.
Sudbury.
Unsolicited, a lot of people have come back to me and said, really like that Sudbury song. And at first I kind of went, I didn't know that people would get it. But I guess people, particularly from the north and, you know, Sault Ste. Marie, Sudbury, anywhere north of... I was going to say Barrie, but they're not really included. Anywhere north of Barrie Sound certainly gets it. And it is just a simple reflection about up there, you didn't have a lot of choices. When I grew up, it was a two company town. There was International Nickel and Falconbridge. And your choice was to do that or not. And some people stayed. They didn't necessarily work for those two companies, but they stayed in town, you know, and it was driven by those two companies. And a lot of other people left. And Sudbury is sort of like, in a way, a little like Newfoundland and Ireland, where there are a lot of people who've left to become successful, but never really forgotten where they came from.
I'm trying to remember back to my high school, my childhood summer vacation. Sudbury's the one with that big nickel, right?
It is.
That's what I thought. I'm going, and you have a Magnetic Hill?
No, Magnetic Hill's in New Brunswick.
Okay, well, I got power half of it right.
I
remember that. I remember going there. It's a nice town, and it's known as a mining town. But I gather it wouldn't be anymore. Or is it still?
Not so much. I mean, things have changed as times have moved on. You know, mining is done completely different than it used to be. There aren't as many people working in the industry as there were before. There's a huge data center that the federal government put in for taxation. It's grown in that respect, and with affiliated businesses, you have Laurentian University and Science North and all sorts of great things that have been happening up there. And even though I don't get back much, it's still fondly remembered. It was a really great place to grow up, and a real down to earth, no BS population. It was there was a standing joke when I was going up. The town motto was, "If you can't take a joke," so it was either fight or flight, and that was pretty much it, and which simplified things in a lot of ways.
Yeah. Well, you wrote a great tribute to your hometown, and we're going to hear Hard Rock Town.
I was born in a hard rock town. Only two choices were out of town, so I thought I'd take my chances and I packed my bag to leave. Last thing I remember that my folks said was, "You'll always have a place to rest your head, so don't you worry, son. Good luck, Godspeed. So come on, baby, hold on tight. It's only me and you here tonight. Come on, and stay behind. They spent their lives in smelters and mines. Some of them chose the open road, like me. Can't say who was right, who was wrong. A lot of them stayed behind, seemed hard and wrong. The ones that left, I can only speak for me. So come on, baby, hold on tight. It's only me and you here tonight. Come on, darling, let's reminisce about that hard rock town. My share of ups and downs, mistakes and breaks, a little give here, there, little take. I can only hope and pray that for all the rest, the choices they made were for the best. 'Cause life ain't easy, live in a smelter mine. So come on, baby, hold on tight. There's only me and you here tonight. Come on, darling, let's reminisce about that hard rock town. So come on, baby, turn out the lights. Close our eyes, we'll dream tonight. Good old bed, we'll dream about that hard rock town. There's only me and you here tonight. Come on, darling, let's reminisce about that hard rock town. So come on, baby, turn out the lights. Close your eyes, we'll dream tonight. Good old bed, we'll dream about that hard rock town. About that hard rock town.
Honestly, Terry, that was the first track I listened to when I Googled your name. I love it. I really do. It's incredible.
Great.
It's an incredible song. Incredible song. We're going to hop right to the we talked about your collaborations. It seems like with the Collective and the Stevens Sisters, you collaborate quite a lot of, I guess, daily as a musician. Do you collaborate when you songwrite?
Not so much with the pure songwriting. The collaboration that I have, as I said, is I leave holes, and I allow and I allow people to fill them in with what they're hearing and what they're feeling when they hear the song. The most collaboration I've had, I was really fortunate to make the acquaintance of a gentleman by the name of Rayburn Blake here in Niagara on the Lake. Rayburn is the producer of the first album and the second album. So far, all the songs, he's staying engaged, and he has a history in music and sound engineering and recording and producing the whole nine yards. He played in a band that had a worldwide number one hit in 1970 called MASH McCann. Mm-hmm. And other successful Lisa Hart band, other bands over the years. He was also involved in the staging and the sound of the Du Maurier Jazz Festival for years in Toronto. So he really knows his stuff. And if you talk about collaboration, it might not be so much in the actual writing and creation of the song, but the essence of how it was supposed to sound and where things sit and the balance, it was way more complicated. I've done a lot of live stuff, playing on stage. And so you kind of learn a little bit about how to balance things off properly, but not to the extent that Rayburn brought to the table. And it's a continuing collaboration to now. I mean, he's working on all the stuff with me. I bounce a lot of it off him for his input and his feedback. And I feel very comfortable if he says, yeah, I like that, I can work with that. Then I feel comfortable that we have something. And the evolution of the project with introducing more and more different aspects, like I said, the electric guitar and more vocals, it has also put us into a position where I started understanding, basics about how to do it professionally, using tempo maps and building arrangements properly and just how to do stuff that I could have never learned on my own without Rayburn's help and influence. And he's just been to me a godsend, actually.
He also contributed as part of the cooperative. Is that they play the guitar?
Yeah,
and
he plays. I would have liked him to have, wound out and played a lot more electric guitar, but he plays all the lap steel parts. He has played the Mash McCann Strat on a couple tunes. Only Need One Friend in particular, where the cooperation was there for the guitar part. And as a producer, he's put in other bits and pieces, a little bit of keyboards on Queen of Broken Hearts. And we even got him playing what we call bedroom drums, because we had to put him in the bedroom and close the door and muffle things with duvets on, I think two tunes on the first album, Pretty Baby. And he just wound out on that one. It was great.
Yeah, that was my next question. I didn't quite, either I don't know what I'm going, bedroom drums, what's that? Okay, cool. I like that internal joke. I love that. I love that. And his company, just so I do a shout out to him, is Rayburn Blake Productions on Niagara-on-the-Lake, right?
Exactly.
Cool. That'd be great. So I'd like to talk about White Coat, White Trash, because we're going to hear that soon.
White Coat, White Trash is different. The songwriting is very difficult to explain to people, and I don't even attempt to do that. But our banjo player, Jim Hill, originally from Timmins, spent most of his life in Alberta, is a retired pharmacist. And he had been working in northern Alberta. We were doing a session with bass player named Alan Ash, who has played on a few songs on the first album, now is probably going to be playing on 95% of the second album. We're getting to know each other after a session, sitting on the couch, and they were chatting, and Jim was relating a story about when he was working in the pharmacy in northern Alberta, and how the drug problem in northern Alberta was just horrendous. And he was saying that, he used to get up in the morning and go into the pharmacy, which was part of a grocery chain. You know how they have the pharmacies in the grocery stores, and it was all caged in. It was all locked and behind a cage. And he said, yeah, one morning, and it wasn't just one morning, it wasn't an unusual experience, but there was this one guy who showed up, and he'd been up all night, and you could tell, and either homeless or he hadn't bothered to go home for quite some time because he had a peculiar odor about him and was coming down. And he went into the pharmacy and was rattling Jim's cage looking for a handout of something. And it was that story when he was saying, and he said, yeah, he was, you know, trying to be very nice at the beginning and asking me for support. And he said, I couldn't, you know, I'm not going to give him any OxyContin through the cage or whatever. And he said, he just got, you know, started getting a little bit more belligerent. And he said, he turned to me and he said, you know, yeah, who the do you think you are? You could be me. It's white coat, white trash. And I was sitting in the background and I went, what a great line for a song. And a week later, Jim and came down and I said, so what do you think? And that was white coat, white trash. It was right at the time when the whole the OxyContin and the fentanyl thing was running rampant in the news. A lot of people were overdosing and things like that. And I didn't know at the time, but I ended up writing a song that had a certain amount of social awareness as well and pointing out to a problem. But at the time it was just one of those triggers that went, wow, there's a story. And I didn't need to ask Jim for any further detail. The rest of it just sort of all pieced itself together based on that. So it worked. And it seems to have resonated with quite a number of people, actually.
It resonated with me. That's why I chose it to play next.
Oh, okay, great.
I love it. So next up, White Coat, White Trash.
All night drinking numbs pain. Most time I don't remember my name. Don't really matter how he got this way. Slide me some oxy, I'll be on my way. What do you mean you won't give me no shit? I ain't asking for much, you son of a bitch. You think you're so much better than me. Well, come on outside, maybe we'll see. White coat, white trash. Buddy, let me into your stash. What'll it take to open the cage? White coat, white trash. Do me a solid, slide this in three. The other way, man, just let it be. Come on, brother, cut me some slack. If you was dealing fentanyl, I'd have your back. White coat, white trash, body let me. Your stash, what'll it take to open the cage? White coat, white trash. Mm-hmm. I know what you're thinking, I deserve what I got. Maybe you're right, maybe you're not. Just look in the mirror, I could be you. So bump me some Connie, brother. We's through. White coat, white trash, body letting me into your stash. What'll it take to open the cage? White coat, white trash. White coat, white trash, body letting me into your stash. What'll it take to open the cage? White coat, white trash. White coat, white trash. White coat, white trash.
That was another great track. I can see why your music is being nominated and recognized in the industry. Congratulations on that success.
Thanks again.
So we need to look for your album that's coming up at some point in the future. Rest in peace.
The next one's called Take a Ride.
Take a Ride. Okay.
And the way it's going right now, I've got most of it tracked. We're just looking to fill in the holes with an additional guitar player and additional vocals.
Okay.
Which is a little difficult right now because of COVID. It's hard getting people, you know, all in the same studio around the mic, spraying each other, sort of, you know. So it's taken a little bit longer than I would have hoped, but we're targeting sometime in the summer for its completion. What I would like to do is have it ready so that I can submit the second album to the Niagara Music Awards and see what happens with a little bit more effort instead of, you know, and see if luck is still on our side. So that's underway. And the third album, Rest in Peace, I've also got all the material organized for that and some of it tracked. It hopefully will be out this time next year, God willing. You know, it's one of those things with the on again, off again, COVID lockdown, unlockdown, the lockdown stuff that's going on, and everybody's nervous. But we think we figured out a workaround using the technology. It's not quite the same, but it's better than nothing.
Yeah, and everybody's in that situation right now.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Except in Texas.
Yeah. Pardon me?
Except in Texas and Mississippi. Right?
Yeah.
They lifted all restrictions and stuff. God bless them. I hope they're all safe and it works for them. Yeah. Scary, though.
Yeah. There's so much ambiguity around the topic and what's right and what's not right. I tend to just observe.
Yep.
Yeah. God willing, everything will work out for everybody. I just hope that there's people that have been affected by it drastically come out of it. So, Terry, if somebody was to follow you, you're most active on Facebook and your music is available on Bandcamp to purchase.
That is correct. tk3tl.bandcamp.com. We chose the platform because it, from my perspective, I've been in business most of my life. It just looked like it would work for us. It's simple. It's easy. It's honest to both the customer and the artist, which is great. Didn't even bother creating a website because I figured they offered an opportunity to, you know, about the band. So anything I would have put on a website can be found there. If people are looking to find out a little bit more about us, it's there. And also it's, it's easy. You can listen to the whole track. I think they say three plays, so that you can, you know, before you press the button and say, I'd like to order this or download it. And it's just a lot simpler. I'm of a generation where my attention span isn't what it used to be. And my attention to detail, I can get very frustrated very quickly with the technology. So I wanted to be able to say, if you go there and you want to hear a song, there it is. Press play. If you like it, you can buy it. If you like a couple of them, it's much cheaper to buy a CD for $10 and I'll ship it to you than anything else. And for the social aspect of it and just what's going on right now, I know that Facebook is, you know, has some negative connotations in the press, but it works really well with what we're doing. Mm-hmm. and the people we're reaching. I find it very comfortable. And as long as you don't get drawn into some of those other dark corners of it, it's brilliant in my opinion.
Yeah, fair enough. I do agree with you on Bandcamp. It is my favorite platform for music and distributing of music, and it's fair to the artists. And they were amazing during, and I think they're still doing it. Since COVID hit, they've been having Friday specials where a good portion, if not all, I think, go back to the artists if they purchase.
They don't take their cut.
Yeah, that's right. That's what they're doing. Yeah, so I have a Bandcamp account, but it's to buy music. So
yeah.
Well, thank you so much for coming on board and being a guest. It was an incredible show. Love your music. I look forward to hearing the next "Take a Ride" and the third album when it comes out. Rest in peace.
Thanks very much, Shay. I appreciate the opportunity, and take care and God bless.
Thank you. God bless. Bye. Well, thank you all for tuning in. Next episode, Sonic X joins us. Sonic X is a hard rock band from Toronto, Canada, a great band. You don't want to miss this episode. So catch you at the pod April the 12th on Air Indie from iPad to yours over the airwaves. Subscribe feeds at thebuzzardpod.com. Cheers.